into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. So we're to teach you how to keep the teachings of Jesus and have commanded you to do so. It's not like a request. It's saying, well, look, if you keep these commandments, then you'll be like me. You'll be like a follower of Jesus. You'll be imitating Jesus. To be a Christian isn't just somebody that comes to church. It's somebody who wants to be like Jesus. Follow his example. Do as he would want to do. The word disciple literally means, next one, a learner. It denotes one who follows another's teaching. A disciple was not only a learner, but also a believer who sticks to what they believe. So if you are a Christian, then you hold on. Not just something you do on a Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. It's what you do out there that counts. God is asking, when you go and live your life in your workplace, in your schools or university, wherever you may be, will you be my example? Because ultimately, next one, the goal of a discipline stated by Jesus is to be like him or like the teacher. To be Jesus' disciple then is to strive to be like him. This coincides with God's goal in the redemption of mankind, that we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. Just as Jesus was conformed to the image of the Father, we are now to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. How do we do it? Well, to follow Jesus, to become like him. Abide in Jesus' words. Jesus said to those who believed in him, next one, John 8, 31. Can we read this? Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. That means if you have the word of God, the Bible, if it is in your heart, then you are his disciple. How can we be like Jesus if we don't know about him? If we don't know the word of God and we don't know his ways, then can we really be a disciple? When you open the Bible, it gives us the commandments. It shows us the way that he wants us to live. How often do we pick up our Bibles? Because that is one way the devil tries to deceive us. We've mentioned this so many times. But let's be honest. How many picked up their Bible last week? Once? Twice? But it's so easy to get cheated out. Because it's only when you open the Bible and then you start to realize there's teachings in here that tell me principles in life to live. I'm to repent, to turn away from sin, turn away from your own old lifestyle and embrace the new. We've got instructions in the Bible to be reconciled. The Bible says, therefore, if you are presenting yourselves offering at the altar, and there, remember your brother has something against you. Say you've offended somebody. It says there, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled. In other words, make right with your brother and sister, and then come and present your offering. So what we're saying is, if you want to have that connection with God, if you want intimacy with God, if you want to have the joy and the peace and that excitement that you can experience, you can't have that and have offense with somebody. If you've offended somebody, if you haven't forgiven somebody, you have hatred in your heart, then you can't be a real disciple because you won't have the connection with God. Something else in the word that's really important, it's an area that a lot of people struggle with. Don't lust. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But here's the commandment to be a disciple. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. You've got to be serious about lust. The Bible says you have to flee. You've got to be serious about it. We can laugh, we can joke. But there's stuff on that social media, there's stuff on the internet that's not good for us. Because it's drawing us away from God and the purity that comes from God and the holiness that's in Christ. If you're holding on to lust, you can't have that intimacy and ultimately you can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The other commandment in the Word of God that we've mentioned before, but I just want to remind you, it says, don't resist evil with evil. What does that mean? But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. In other words, don't take vengeance. Don't repay evil for evil. If somebody does something bad to you, don't try and get one over them. Because again, that will separate you from God. You can't experience the peace and the joy and intimacy of God if you're trying to take revenge on somebody. These are principles to keep you as a follower of Jesus and in right standing with God. The other principle in the Word that we need to be reminded of is to come to Jesus for rest. If you come in here with anxiety, you're coming here with fear. Bible is clear, come to me who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a promise. He promises to give you rest. We need that rest. This world drains from us so much. Children can drain from you. Your workplaces, just living in today's society, you've got to take time out to rest in Jesus. Because you can't give out what you haven't received. You'll just become weary. You'll be overwhelmed with the battles that are out there. Rest in Jesus. The greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, strength, and mind. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Can you imagine the world that we would live in if we loved our neighbor as ourselves? You love somebody, you want to steal from them. You wouldn't want to kill them. You want to exploit them. It'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? You wouldn't go to your workplace where they're trying to get you to do even more, squeeze you even more, because you'd be valued and loved by the employer. And then it will be reciprocated. But unfortunately, we're living in a world that's just getting darker. Satan has more and more control over this world system. But there is going to be a day of reckoning, and we're going to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen? Go to the next slide, please. So we're to abide in the Word. And there's a stern warning that if we do not abide in the Word, if we do not follow the teachings of Jesus, it says in Matthew 7:21-27, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is a stern warning to those that claim to be Christians, those that come to church. It's saying not everyone that claims to be a Christian, you say to me, Jesus, Jesus, but it says here, but you haven't done what I've asked you to do. You haven't followed those commandments, and you practice lawlessness. In other words, you break the commandments. Can you imagine that, standing before the Lord after years and years of coming to church and thinking you're doing God a service? He's saying, I never knew you. Matthew 7:21-27, next slide please. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You see, as you go through the trials and tribulations in this world, if you have Christ in you who is the rock, then there is stability. You're not going to be tossed to and fro because your trust is in Jesus. You are anchored in Jesus. So when these problems come, you say, okay, that's just another opportunity for Jesus to show up. He's the one that's going to answer my prayers like he did before. And if he doesn't answer straight away, he'll give me wisdom and he'll give me guidance. And what's the opposite? Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house. In other words, the trials, the tribulations, the trouble of this world, and it fell. The house fell down. How many lives collapse emotionally, mentally, spiritually? and then you give up because you are overwhelmed with the troubles of this world. True? How many times do you feel like giving up? How many times, oh, I've had enough of this? In fact, you know, Satan sometimes even takes us to the point of suicide because we've been deceived that much. Because we haven't stood on the truth. We haven't stood on the promises of God, of who we are in Christ, and that God is going to fight our battle and that we can overcome. You know, these are stern warnings in the Bible. Next slide, please. Therefore, lay aside, the Bible says, it's time to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness. Be humble. Receive the word of God, which is able to save your souls. Unless that word gets in you, how is it going to nourish you? But be doers of the word and not hearers only. In other words, don't come here on a Sunday, listen to what I've got to say, get your sandwiches and off you go. What the word is saying here, don't deceive yourself. Do you know what deception is? You think you're right, but you're actually wrong. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, and then he observes himself, goes away immediately, and forgets what he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. There is power in the word of God when it's applied. Bible says in the next slide, John 13, 34, 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. This is how people will know that you are a disciple of Jesus. If we really love Jesus, we'll keep his commandments and we will be known by the love that we have for one another. But you can't give out love if you haven't received it. As simple as that. With a love patterned after the love of Jesus. With a love that is visible to the world. And the next thing that happens, that when you're a disciple and you're abiding and you're following the teachings of Jesus and you're abiding in his presence, it says, next slide, in John 13, 34, 35, John 15, 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Bear fruit. Well, could be the fruit of the Spirit. If you're walking in kindness, if you're walking in love, if you have peace, people will see that. They will see that you're abiding in Christ. And people will know by that, that you're really his disciple. Jesus wants us to be exactly how he was before the Father. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You can have that if you have received Jesus, the light of the world in your soul, and let it shine before man. And people could then ask you, why are you so happy? Why do you wake up at 5, 6 in the morning and you come into the workplace and you're happy? What are you on? They probably either think you're on drugs or they probably think, okay, there may be something in this Holy Spirit. But it's an opportunity to say, well, yeah, it's because of Jesus. He's changed my life. He's given me hope. He's given me joy. Joy is your strength. 1 Timothy 2:12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. A lot of people are going to hate you. You'll come under a lot of persecution. But by your good works that they observe, they will have to glorify God in that day. Amen. Now, when you become a disciple of Jesus, you know, we are warned that there are times that people will come up against you. It says even people in your own household, your own family may even turn against you. There will be persecution, but don't let it turn you back. Luke 14, 25, 26, now great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, even if your own family members are saying, no, I don't want your Jesus, I don't want to follow him, it should still not stop you from doing it. Kingdom of God has to be priority. Everything else is secondary. Even if it's your own family that's saying, no, don't go to church, don't bother with that. Put Jesus first. To be a real disciple means you have to lay aside all the things that so easily besets you. The desires of the world that take you away from Jesus. The Bible says, unless you deny yourself, how can you be a disciple? You have to lay down your own wants and desires. There has to be a surrender in Jesus for the resurrection power to take place. Unless you're surrendered, unless your soul is subdued under the almighty power of God, how can his strength come into your life? We have to die to self. It's not easy. The flesh still wants to rise up, doesn't it? How many of us know that? It's the age-old battle of the flesh and the spirit. But if you're dealing with that, that's a good thing. That means that God's working in your heart. The problem comes when we don't get convicted of doing wrong. And we think, oh, well, you know, that's okay. Jesus loves me anyway. Well, he loves you. And he loves you enough to tell you that you can't keep it. If you want to be a disciple, if you really want to be a follower of Jesus, you have to let it go. You know, you can't love father or mother more than him. Otherwise, you're not worthy of him, the Bible says. And when you abide in Christ and follow his commandments, the Bible promises us a peace that passes understanding. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives you. So your heart will not be troubled and you will not be afraid. Love casts out all fear. Is that what we heard today? Love casts out all fear. When you have the power of God, God's love, God, his strength within you, you can overcome whatever difficulty there is. Do we want to be a real disciple of Jesus? Because ultimately it's maturing us that we can then go out and bring other people in. We need his strength. We need his power. And he promises to give us that joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. John 15, 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Isn't it great that you can have joy in your soul when all hell is breaking loose around you? When your car's broken, have you ever been in a situation where things are just going against you? Your car's broken down, your boss has just told you, I don't need you next week. There's been times like that I've stood on the word and just started praising God. Hallelujah, thank you for the joy, thank you for the peace. And I've seen God come through every single time. Why? Not because of me, because I've trusted him. He will honor his word. I believe that God will bring us out of every situation if you only trust and only believe. So I want to encourage you, please, take your discipleship seriously. Take your life seriously. You only have one life. You don't want to hear those words, Lord, Lord, did I not do this? I came to church. I came to Micklefield for 2 years. I served the food. I'd done this. I'd done that. And he said, I didn't know, you never came into a relationship with me. You never spend time with me. You never open your Bible. You had it on the bookshelf and you just dusted it every so often, but you never read it. It's a serious thing to fall into the hands of God. So I want to encourage you to go to the next level now, yeah? Don't let the devil cheat you out of another week for not opening that Bible. Because that Bible is spirit and it is life. It can change your life. He will give you new revelation, new direction. There's times where you open a Bible, something just pops out and it's an answer to prayer. I believe God is going to direct you in a special way this week. He's going to do something new, but open your heart. Don't believe the lies of the enemy and don't give in to the flesh. The flesh quite happy sitting there watching your Netflix, watching your Amazon Prime. Do you know what I mean? There's so many things this world offers. Not saying these things are wrong in themselves, But remember what we said, the kingdom of God first. How many of us wake up in the morning and we say, Lord, I pray for your kingdom to come. I pray for your will to be done. Do we pray for God's will to be done in our lives that day? Not all of us, not all the time. Sometimes I get up, the first thing I think I turn to is my phone. I'm starting scrolling how many messages I've got. That ain't good, is it? But let's be honest, we're human. It just comes naturally. We spend too much time on that thing, don't we? But it's a good thing, because look what Robin's doing on TikTok and how many people are receiving the word of God around the world because of that channel. But let's put the priority first. Let's put the kingdom of God first. I want to thank you, those that have decided to be baptized. That's obeying the word. That is stepping out on what God has revealed to us. So I want to encourage you this week. Let's seek him more fervently. Let's trust him more. Let's believe in him more. And become the disciples. Come the people of God that God wants us from the foundation of the world. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to encourage you, if anybody wants prayer, if there's something that you need prayer for, we're going to pray for you. We're going to trust God to come through it.